What do I do about this truth, these most important things that we've learned and been reminded of this month? So I'm looking forward to the Lord producing good fruit in my life and in your life because of this time we've spent looking at these foundational, most important things. So we're going to do our review here. Let's go for it. All right, our mission here at Warehouse Church is... Here we go, George. All right, we got it, George. We're waiting on George. Here we go. There we go. Here we go. Let's do it again. Thank you, George. Our mission is to know God and to make Him known. Oh, man, you guys are good. I have to say, it's, again, as they'd say in some of our churches, use your preaching voice, and you guys were. So this is what we're all about. We're not just here to waste time or some social gathering or whatever. It's to know God, not just Sunday mornings, but our lives. That's what every single human being was created, to know God. Whether they call themselves an atheist or whatever, they were made to know God. God wants them to be with Him forever. And again, so once we start to know God, the vertical part of that idea of relationship, then we can start to live out that horizontal part, getting to know others. Because God established that relationship with us through His love and forgiveness. And guess what? It's the same with us and other people. Because even if you get along with somebody for a while, there's going to be a time where they're going to need to forgive you and you're going to need to forgive them. Almost guaranteed. Guaranteed. It happens here, even at Warehouse Church, of all places. You know? Because we still carry around this body of flesh. We still live in a world that encourages us to do wrong things and to act in ways we shouldn't. But man, the grace of God is bigger than all of that. And it's a testimony to the Lord's goodness when we can learn to make Him known as we build relationships to others. So what's next on our list? We looked at the great commandment. This is what Jesus said was the most important thing. It had two parts. Remember that? Here we go. Start at the top. The great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, Luke 10:27. Man, this is the most important thing. Love God, that's what our words on fire back there, we'll look at that a little bit later. Love God, love people, with a heart that's on fire for God. Does that happen just normally, or no, it doesn't. It's got to be a supernatural work of God. Left on our own in a fallen, sinful world, we're going to slide away from God. But God is so loving, and God is present in the life of every believer. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the Romans 8, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's where, man, God puts the fuel in the tank. You know, that's why we read Romans 7, and then there it's the Apostle Paul saying, hey, I know the right thing to do, but I blow it every time. You guys may have heard me when preaching about that passage before say, you might think of the coolest car, you know, whether it's a Corvette or Lamborghini or whatever it is, and it might look great and the keys might be in the ignition, but unless there's any fuel in the tank, it's not getting anywhere. And that's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We can think that we're going to do all this stuff and go all these places, but without the Holy Spirit filling us up, that's the fuel that gets us going, because that's God Himself. The presence of Jesus in the life of the believer through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, that's how we're able to do this, to love God with all that we are. Again, this is like total buy-in. This is not, well, if you have time, if you feel like it, or if you get around to it, or somewhere down my list. No, this is numero uno priority. Love God. And then we start to learn to love people. And not love Him a little bit with all of our heart. Again, there have been a bunch of great sermons preached about this. You know, heart is often known as that's kind of the seat of your emotions with all of your soul. That's kind of how your heart interacts with the world and expression of that. With all of our strength, that's just physical, often physical work. You know, man, you can dig ditches to the glory of God. Whatever you do with your body, you know, that's to be done to the glory of God. And with all of your mind, with your thoughts, honor God with holiness as far as the things we think about. And just as we start to learn and have the mind of Christ, man, that's how we honor God as well. So basically, all that we are, all that we have, and love your neighbor as yourself. Remember we looked at the first Sunday, who's my neighbor? That was the question that this guy that's teacher of the law brought to Jesus, and Jesus told that awesome parable of the Good Samaritan. We started looking at a number of characteristics about who our neighbor was. And, you know, basically it's anyone who's got that need and God puts you in across that person's path. And you may not be able to do everything for that person, but we need to do something instead of just walk around the other way. So remember that Wayne Gordon, for you guys who are taking notes, Coach Gordon in Lawndale, one of the worse off neighborhoods, at least it used to be, in Chicago, where Wayne was called there years ago and started to live incarnationally, just started to hang out there and let God use him. And now there's been an amazing work that's affected thousands and probably tens of thousands of lives. And he wrote this book, Who's My Neighbor? So if you want to follow up on this, just make a note of that. Do a Google search. You can read a lot of the book right online, too, on Google Books. So you can check that out. But there was the Great Commandment. Then we looked at the Great Commission, again, as some of the most important things. Okay, here we go. Let's say this together. Ready? The Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It's in Matthew 28. 18 through 20. A lot of words up there, but really important stuff. This was said by Jesus, spoken by Jesus, just before he left earth and ascended into heaven, which was pretty wild, pretty freaky. You know, talk about awesome special effects. That was the real thing. I want to see God's replay of that when I get to heaven, what that actually looked like. But it said that the disciples were just, they were kind of frozen looking at the sky. And angels appeared and said, what are you guys looking at? He said this same Jesus will return in the same way that he left. So Jesus will come in the clouds of glory, and it's going to be pretty amazing. But this was like, man, what do you say the last time you're going to see people and you want them to remember what's really on your heart? You know, it might be a long embrace between a husband and wife, or, you know, just, man, I love you, I love you, I love you, whatever it is. You're not going to be talking about the sports scores, you know, whatever, the weather. You're going to be talking about the stuff that's most important, and this was it. This was the co-mission. The co means together. This is what the body of Christ together was to do. This is their job. As they were busy loving God and loving their neighbors, this is what they were supposed to do, how they were supposed to live it out. And Jesus says, hey, all authority is mine. And sometimes people get thrown off. What do you mean is given to you? Aren't you God eternal? Didn't you always have that? Well, it's more just kind of the language of office, they might, theologians might call it, or position, that Jesus, within that mystery of the one God in three persons, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's love and there's interaction and there's mutual co-submission and all of this other stuff. So yeah, Jesus has always been God. That has never changed. But Jesus loves the Father loves the Son, Scripture is pretty clear about that, and the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, the Holy Spirit is sent out from the Father and the Son. All of this weird kind of like that, interacting, intermingling kind of thing that our puny human brains can only start to understand. But the Bible's pretty clear that there is this mystery of one God in three persons who shows up. And this is just that Jesus is the one who was sent by the Father to the earth. And that's why this language here of authority is there. Then that this mission of Jesus was given from the Father to Jesus, that he left heaven and came to earth. So now, as Jesus is, guess what, going back up to heaven, does he take that mission with him? He gives that to his church. And even in John chapter 20, he breathed on the disciples, said, receive the Holy Spirit. And a lot of theologians think that was maybe a foreshadowing of Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit would come upon them in power, which is what Jesus also had promised to them to do. We'll look at that in just a second. So Jesus has authority. He's in charge. He's the real boss to fear. Absolutely. So we're to make disciples, that's followers of Jesus. Baptizing, that's why the fifth Sunday is one of those opportunities that's really, really important. Again, being baptized into Christ means trusting Him, and then your life is totally drowned in the sea that is Jesus. The thief on the cross was baptized into Christ, absolutely, by repentance and faith. Was he baptized in water? No, and sadly he didn't get a chance to do that because that's a public expression of the spiritual reality that's already happened. So that's where it talks about repent and be baptized. That's the core meaning of that, to be in Christ, to be submitted and committed and surrounded by the presence of God in your life. And water baptism is a picture of that. That's why going down in the water is so important. It symbolizes a death and then being resurrected with Jesus, raised to new life spiritually. Well, we're not done yet. George, go back a little bit. Thank you to, yeah, here we go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just throw this in here. Why do we do that? That's what's sometimes called the formula, the Trinitarian formula. Well, because Jesus said to do it. There's some that will just baptize only in the name of Jesus. Even folks that are Trinitarian, I've got a great friend of mine who's like that. Why? Well, it's because in the book of Acts, most of the time where it's described, it's not always described what they said. Sometimes it is. It's baptized in the name of Jesus. Again, there's oneness in the Trinity. We don't have to worry about any of that. But because Jesus said it, that's why we do it. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's why this is a lifetime job. Don't think you're ever going to get to retire from leading people closer to Jesus. You should be doing this till you die, or see Jesus on His return if you're still alive then. It's our job description. It's what, not what we have to do. It's like, oh, I'm a Christian, I got to do this great commission thing. No, we get to. It's a privilege. It's an honor that we can lead people to Jesus. And I know that many of you have done that. But if there's any of you guys that haven't yet had that opportunity to pray with somebody and to see God's forgiveness come into somebody's life, you've got an awesome blessing up ahead. God wants to use you in that way, or He wouldn't have said this. Sometimes, you know, we all get in the way, and again, no guilt or condemnation. This is to be encouragement that, man, you can help someone to have a spiritual birth. I mean, just like all of the things that happen when a man and woman, a husband and wife, come together in sexual intimacy, and out of that bonding and intense love and physical togetherness comes a new life. How does that work? Well, we know biologically, I think, how it kind of happens. You know, we can't get down there ourselves and really see it on the cellular level, this new life that starts. But we can watch a birth, you know, and many of us have seen that. Us guys have it easy, you know. But that birthing process, but what happens? Even though there's a lot of pain in that process, you know, God bless you gals that have gone through that. But just like Jesus said, man, even though there's a lot of pain, what happens after that? There's joy because that new life is there. Man, that baby is there and you love that kid and the kid grows and the kid becomes a blessing in your life that words can't describe. Well, hey, that's just a mirror of what's even better spiritually. When you can see somebody be born spiritually and then see him grow. You know, it happens, talking about the old geezer talk here, you guys that are a bit younger. You know, some of us that have been around Warehouse Church for 26 years or maybe 10 years even have seen a lot of this happen. Some of you guys that were born here in this church and you don't know anything else and still you've come to faith in Jesus. That's kind of been our plan, and God has been gracious to allow that to happen. I mean, thank you. Pettits are one awesome example of that, and there are many here, and we're so thankful for that. You know, that's total joy. No better joy than that. I'm choking up here because I'm thinking last night, I'm here behind some of the youth here from the church that went, and to see them have their hands raised worshiping God, wow, that's cool. That's so cool. You know, it's not fake. It's not, you know, it's just the real deal. And that's what we live for, to have people come to know Jesus and then to learn to grow. And Jesus kind of throws in this really important thing, says, hey, I am going to be with you. Can't see me with your physical eyes, I will be with you. You're not alone in this. And we can know that wherever we go, He goes with us. If we're walking out in love and obedience. Well, I said I'd be a little bit shorter. I better move along. Okay, so how do we do this and where do we do this? Next slide, whatever that is, George, let me see. Oh, yeah, that's. Are we at the continuum now? Okay, here we go. Yeah, we already got a preview of that. And again, real quick, this is what it's not just praying the sinner's prayer, the four spiritual laws. Yeah, that's important stuff. And Yeah, people need to cross this center line of faith. And sometimes it's only God who knows exactly when that happens in somebody's life. But it has to do with hearing the gospel, understanding it, repenting, turning from sin, and trusting in Jesus. Those elements, according to Scripture, all have to be there. Boom. So that's important. But hey, a lot of times we're moving people from this side. Man, maybe atheists, maybe just kind of hardened, maybe burned by the church. Boom, we're moving them all over. And hopefully you are too, at school or in your neighborhood or at work. Man, you are helping people just because you're not that self-righteous jerk that they think Christians are supposed to be in their stereotypes. But you're actually nice to them. You're actually going out of your way to be their friend and to talk to them. Man, that's bumping them along here. And you may be the one who gets to pray for them. The Scripture says that, you know, one person plants the seed, somebody else waters, but God gives the increase, and we all labor together in this. Really, really cool stuff. And this takes a lot of pressure off, that it's not just, you know, blabbing out the words of the gospel, but it's the works of the gospel too. All right, George, thanks. Next slide here. This is how and where we do this. Again, Jesus, right before His ascension, at the same time as what we already saw in Matthew 28, here He is saying the most important things. Here we go. You guys ready? The action plan, how and where. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is Jesus in Acts 1:8. Man, this again, I've said that word that we translate power later became the word that's used for dynamite, dunamis. Man, it's powerful, it's dynamic, it's something happens when the Holy Spirit comes on you. He indwells every believer. But there are times when, you know, we can be full to overflowing, and that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. And that the power of God comes right along with that. And we are His witnesses. That's just saying what we've seen and heard. And again, it's that kind of bullseye. Boom, 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 boom. Starts in Jerusalem. Starts in whatever your hometown is for Warehouse Church. It's Aurora for all of us together. But you might live in Sandwich or Batavia or wherever. Man, if that's where you sleep, yeah, that might be your bullseye of that target or where the rock hits the pond and the ripples go out. But He wants us to be active in all of this. All right, cool. Then last week, we looked at our motivation. This is real important because we can do all of the stuff we've talked about so far, but if our motivation is not correct, it's all going to burn. Remember that? So our motivation has to be love. And it has to be the kind of love which is God's love, not the world's description of love. And love is action, love is unselfish, and it's other-centered. It's not for your own benefit. It's for the benefit of others here. So real quick, just one verse for today. Because today I want us here in just a moment to be able to spend some time really asking God. Some of you guys already know, you know, what God has, you know, you, some of your passions or abilities or stuff you like to do. That's kind of what we're trying to say this month. Who are you? How has God wired you? What are the things that you like to do? It might not be motorcycles. It might not be kayaks, you know. It might be books you like to read. Hey, there's a book club here. Maybe it's knitting, and there's a knitting and crochet group that meets in your neighborhood or meets at the library. Man, do it. Quilting, yeah, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, whatever. But do it. Whatever you can do. Remember that word incarnational, to be there in the flesh, in person. This is not going to happen if I'm staying home all the time, watching the TV or online myself all the time. It's not going to happen. You have to be with people. With people. Sometimes just showing up and shutting up. Listening. Being with people. When we started doing Motorcycle Sunday, 2001, Jim Craig invited me to go with him to this Abate group. It's a motorcyclist rights organization. I knew of Abate, and I was like, I'm kind of too busy to do that. Got a lot of other stuff going on. But guess what? In a time like we're going to do in a minute, praying together, the Holy Spirit really spoke clearly to me. No audible voice, but I understood what He was saying. He said, go to Abate and just shut up. Just go and be there. Show up regularly, faithfully. Be there every month and just be friendly. Look and see what God might do. And so I'm thankful for a friend, Jim, who brought me. And Jim, you know, has been doing this stuff for a long time too. He gets it. And so we're there. I'm just there. I'm there for a number of months. Guess what? I think it was the first meeting. It might have been the second meeting. We get to pray with people. People who aren't normally churchgoers, we get to pray with them right outside the VFW in St. Charles. And guess what? The Lord keeps opening up doors and then starts building friendships to where now I have some amazing friendships with people. And I've seen people commit their life to the Lord through some of the influence that has started through that, through Abate. So whatever it is with you, whatever God might want you to do, you may know, you may not know. But one opportunity I want to remind you about is that, remember we had Ben and Joe Sinique from Riverwoods. Riverwoods is a ministry that helps the church to be able to connect in relationship in some of these projects, the housing communities. And here at Warehouse Church, we've kind of zeroed in with the Southwind and Harbor Village communities, which is you take a right down there on 4th, and you go about a mile and a half, mile and a quarter, mile and a half, and you're there. And there, some of the teens from there have been part of our Warehouse youth group the last couple of months, and we're starting to go deeper. And I really want to lovingly invite you guys that it might be one or two. It'd be great if there are four or five folks who wanted to go to this. It's a CM 100 class. It's 3 hours, May 3rd. And it's going to be up at Riverwoods. There's a $15 cost. If you need to, the church will pay for you to go. So if that sounds of interest to you, you'd like to learn how to be more effectively used by the Lord in that. I think we've got a slide for that one, George, for the Riverwoods logo and stuff on it. But if this is you, you can just talk to me afterwards and we'll get you set up for that. And we are one of the key partner churches with Riverwoods. And it's important that that we're growing that in that relationship. So we're trusting the Lord's already spoken to a few of you guys. But the good thing is here we can trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. We're going to pray here in just a little bit. But we've got that, I think, is up there, George, too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Well, this is, I've gotten too busy. I've got this going on. That's your own understanding. Excuses is what you might put in there for understanding. Don't lean on that. Don't think, hey, that's what I should go by. But in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Say, okay, Lord, I acknowledge You're first. If You tell me to go, I will go. And He will make your path straight. He will guide your steps is an alternate rendering of the Hebrew there. God will show you if you humble yourself and don't make yourself to be the one in charge. If you say, God, I'll go. If you nudge me, you show me, I will go down that path there. Human nature hasn't changed and situations don't. There are a lot of people who even like to think that they're caring but often just don't get involved. So what we're going to do now is pray and really just ask the Lord to be able to speak to our hearts and minds. This could be the most important time of the 5 weeks we spent together. We're not going to take a real long time to do it, but let's bow our heads, close our eyes, go to the Lord. Lord, thank You for these truths that we've learned, and many of us have known these, and we've been reminded over these five Sunday mornings here in March, Lord. Thank You for life. Thank You for Your great love and forgiveness in each of our lives, Lord. But Lord, we don't want to just think about the past. We don't want to just think, oh, that's a nice story, Lord. But we want to say, here am I, send me. Here am I, use me, Lord. Lord, just even in the room here today and those who can't be with us here, Lord, we know that there are so many different abilities and giftings and callings and skills and so many other things that You've put into our lives. Lord, thank You for those who are already very active in using those to Your glory and to impact others and to come alongside in very real, sacrificial ways, Lord. But I thank You for the folks that are here this morning saying, man, I want to do this and I am not really there yet. I haven't been there, but I want to. Lord, we just would ask that for everyone who's praying that prayer, Lord, that You would speak to them, Lord, give them direction in that. Show them how You have designed and wired them, Lord, to be able to do something that they haven't yet done, Lord. Whether it's going to that book club or talking to that neighbor that they haven't talked to, but they know that they should, Lord. Lord, help it not to be a guilt trip, Father. Help it to be a time of anticipation and excitement, Lord, because we know that You've promised to go with us. You wouldn't leave us or forsake us. You'll go with us even to the end of the age. And Lord, we look forward to the praise reports, the testimonies that You will allow us to hear because of this time spent together. Lord, we pray for great application, the stuff that you might drop into our mind right now, Lord, or what you might do even this afternoon or this evening or in the week to come, that you might put us in these divine appointments, these God situations that we look at and say, whoa, where did that come from? That must have been the Lord. And Lord, strengthen us to have the courage to walk in love and obedience, Lord. So I don't know how that's all going to work out, but we trust you with that, Lord. Help us to not be the people that walk by on the other side, Lord, and think that we're still doing you and them a favor. So thanks for that all, Lord. Now as we end our gathering here this Sunday morning together, Lord, we say thank you for all that you've given us. Really, it's all of yours, Lord. All the money that you've given us to be able to pay the rent or the mortgage, Lord, or even to be able to go back and forth to sleep at Hesed House, Lord. Those are resources from you, Lord. And as we give back to you and in our giving to God and in our offerings, Lord, we pray that you would take that and bless that and break that and multiply it, Lord, to meet the spiritual needs of so many here, Lord. And may you help us to be generous people to you, Lord, not just in our finances, but in our lives, Lord. May we reflect the heart of you who are awesomely loving, Lord. So thank you for that. We look forward to this next month, Lord, where Dave will lead us in the teaching times. We know we've got Palm Sunday coming up and Easter, where we celebrate that most awesome thing, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that gives us new life. So thanks for that. In advance, we pray for the fifth Sunday gathering tonight. May that be awesome and an encouragement to your people. May this week be blessed of you. We love you, Lord, and ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.